This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. It has just gone past 7:35 in the morning, Monday, 15th of February. And in about half an hour, we're going to have our breakfast grill. Philip, what's happening today?
Right, so Roshan Kanisen will be interviewing His Excellency Krzysztof Debinitsky. He's the Polish ambassador to Malaysia. And so when it comes to Malaysia-EU trade relations, attention is often focused on countries like Germany and France. But what you may not know is that Poland is actually a sizable consumer of Malaysian goods, particularly palm oil and rubber products. Is there more room to grow this trade relationship and bring more attention to it? In conjunction with the 30th anniversary of the Visegrad Group, a political alliance of four countries of Central Europe, including Poland, the Polish ambassador to Malaysia joins us on the Breakfast Grill to discuss Malaysia-Poland relations.
Interesting stuff. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, let's pay attention to the United States, because the U.S. Senate there voted to acquit former President Donald Trump on a charge of incitement, to insurrection over the Capitol riot on 6th of January. The vote stood at 57 to 43, 10 votes short of the two-thirds needed for conviction.
This is Trump's second impeachment trial, and it was wrapped up in only 5 days. Both the Democrats and Republicans were united in their decision to avoid a prolonged trial in order to get back to more pressing matters like tackling another pandemic relief package and appointing Biden's cabinet. Meanwhile, in a release statement, Trump called the trial the greatest witch hunt in history. Will this decision mean we'll see him back in politics soon? And what does this mean for the future of the GOP, especially after 7 Republican senators voted to convict him?
So discussing this with us this morning is Robert Shapiro, Professor of Government at Columbia University. Thank you for joining us, Robert. Now, does Trump's acquittal demonstrate the strong hold he has on the Republican Party? Or was this more to do with Republican senators and their personal political agendas to keep themselves in office?
Good morning. It has to do with both. That is, Trump still has a hold on the party to the extent that the members of his party know they need the support of his base in order to win their elections. And that's what influenced what they did. That's the current situation. That could be changing as we go forward.
Let's talk about senior Republican Mitch McConnell's statement after the vote. He said he holds Trump responsible for the assault on Capitol, but voted against the conviction, saying it was unconstitutional because Trump was no longer president. What does his ambivalence mean?
Well, for one, this may simply represent his sincere opinion. He may actually think this. From a political standpoint, this has the effect of doing two things. One is he's basically signaling to everyone that Trump's role in the Republican Party should diminish over time, and he should not be the Republican presidential candidate in 2024, which he thinks will be a disaster. Secondly, by arguing that he should not have been convicted, it basically justifies the current decision, and it gives everyone cover and safety with respect to their own political positions in congressional districts and in the states.
But McConnell also pointed out that Trump could still be held liable in court because former presidents are not above the law. How likely is that going to happen, actually?
I think that's significant. That is, he's signaling that he's basically signaling that state attorneys and even federal attorneys should make Trump fair game for further prosecution and also for civil suits. These actions taken against Trump will step by step probably weaken his position politically, Trump's position politically. So he's basically telling everyone to go after Trump, get rid of him.
Yeah, so I think, as you said, there are a series of criminal and civil charges against Trump. Which ones do you think are likely to stick in the coming months ahead?
Well, the one I would watch is Georgia, his interference in the election there. That's really, significant tampering in the election. Besides that, there's civil cases and tax related cases in New York and elsewhere, and also there are civil cases by women who were suing him and for sexual violations, and those were out of bounds while he's president. Now he's fair game for those suits.
But at the end of the day, will this second acquittal have any damage on Trump's reputation and political chances moving forward? He is a bit of a teffel. I mean, as in a nonstick pan, there have lots of accusations been thrown against him, but nothing ever really sticks.
Well, they did stick because he lost the presidential election, and his actions basically led to the Republicans being defeated in Georgia. And that really shows his significant weakened position. And basically, he's damaged goods for the 2024 election. And that could be increasingly so going forward, especially with these possible suits against him.
So you don't think that he's a possible candidate for the next presidential election?
Oh, I think he's definitely a possible candidate, but he would be a losing candidate for the Republicans. And that's the dilemma for the Republican Party. He lost in 2020. Why would we think he'd be stronger in 2024?
Who else could then be a presidential candidate for the Republican Party? Is it too early to ask this question?
No, it's not too early. I mean, the names that, the people who are trying to position themselves are people like Josh Hawley and Senator Cruz, and also Nikki Haley has basically signaled that as well. So there are other candidates out there. The problem is that the ones that would be Trump's successors might be vulnerable to the same kinds of problems that Trump had in 2020. And so the Republican Party is in a situation where it needs to basically re-solidify itself or redefine itself or something, with Trump not central to it. And that's going to be very difficult, because now he has a hold of the party, mainly because his political base is more loyal to him than he is to the Republican Party. That's the big question.
Yeah, you point out that there are many candidates. And I like to point out the contrast between Nikki Haley and Josh Hawley. Both were quite strong Trump supporters, early on. But recently, Nikki Haley came out saying that she thought that Trump had a place in the Republican Party. But Josh Hawley still maintained his strong stance in support of President Trump. Where do you see the fissures happening? Or will this all just find another alternative candidate coming out then?
Well, the fissures here have to be whether or not the candidates supported Trump in the impeachment process. And Josh Hawley put himself squarely in a position where he could get the support of the Trump base. Nikki Haley, based on her recent statements, will have to make up some ground in order to appeal to the Trump base, because she directly criticized him in a very visible way.
And Robert, do you think the Republican Party's next step is to actually do some soul searching? As you mentioned, right, a lot of Republicans who voted, or a lot of voters who voted for President Trump, voted because of him and not necessarily due to the Republican Party. Do they need to kind of have this soul searching to re-galvanize the party and build up that loyal base again?
That's a very good question. The one thing we have to keep in mind is that the 2020 election was a defeat of Trump, but was not a defeat of the Republican Party, because they picked up seats in the House of Representatives and also in the state governments. They're very well positioned to pick up seats in the House and take the House and maybe the Senate in 2022 if they can simply unite against the Democrats. And I think there's not much soul searching. That is, they could search their souls and reach a consensus that their objective should be to defeat the Democrats. And that's the common ground they have. The problem is the extent to which Trump's appeal to his supporters may mess that up, in the sense that his supporters might not be loyal supporters of the rest of the Republican Party leadership.
Yeah, so that turnout is going to be super critical for not only 2024, but 2022. As you say, the Republicans have an opportunity to take back Congress. Do you think that turnout will change or shift a lot? And how many seats do you think the Republicans can take back?
I can't predict the exact number of seats, but it could be enough to return to their levels of 2016, potentially. Mm. But for that to happen, the Democrats would have to be very vulnerable. And what's very crucial right now is that the end of this Senate trial now puts all eyes on the Biden administration and how well they can perform. And that's going to be decisive for the country, given the problems the country has, but also decisive for the Democrats in 2022.
And since you mentioned Biden, does Trump's acquittal affect the Biden administration in any way?
It basically allows the Biden administration to focus its attention on making its cabinet appointments and then pushing through the pandemic relief bill, and to deal with both the health problems and the economic problems of the country. And so this is an opportunity now for the Democrats and Biden to do what they said they were going to do if they won the election.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Robert Shapiro, professor of government at Columbia University, giving his views on the Trump acquittal, saying that perhaps he doesn't have that much of a chance in 2024. The Republican Party wanted him to go away quietly, but I doubt that's really going to happen.
So not Trump, but Trumpian?
Trumpian. I think everybody just wants Trump's 70 million voters, right? I mean, yeah. 70 million voted for him. We can't deny that number. Yes. And a lot of them voted for him because of him, not because so much of the Republican Party. But what's next for them? You know, their focus should, of course, be getting the Democrats out of the White House. But I think U.S., for sure, very evenly split. And that makes for interesting politics, difficult politics, but interesting politics.
Yeah, it's reflected in the vote you saw in the impeachment, 57-43, seven Republicans.
Which is a large number.
Which is a large number. And what was fascinating is the impeachment managers of the Democrats actually did, I felt, a pretty good job, because prior to this first vote, they had 55 and they were able to win over two additional Republicans.
Well, they came up with a very slick video to show what happened in Capitol, and it was quite shocking, actually. So I'm not surprised two of them actually crossed party lines and voted with the Democrats. But up next, Malaysia saw its first GDP contraction since 2009. And big question, how concerned should we be? Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.